بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، as we mentioned that today we'll begin the discussion of the Hajjatul Wada', the final Hajj of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his suffer towards it. Why we find it important to discuss this? Because year after year we hear Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah is coming. We have to connect our heart to these months over here. We know the virtues of these months, that the reward of amal are multiplied, to exert ourselves as much takbir, tahleel, third kalima, fourth kalima. In the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, the rewards over there are all multiplied. The best 10 days in the year, the first 10 days of the month of Zulhijjah. But the build up towards that, as we mentioned, our Hazrat tells us also, that if you want the crops of summer, you can't plant in summer. You could plant before that. Before Zulhijjah starts, how to connect our hearts. Now for us, we might see the date. Today was the 25th. That's the 26th. So, our Honorable Shaykh Mu'abdul Hamid Sahib, Nawarakatuhu, says that it is an obligation upon us to have true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is one of the greatest means of our salvation. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام said لا يؤمن أحدكم. Then none of you can be a complete believer, perfect believer, حتى أكون أحب إليه. Until I am more beloved to him. من والده, then his parents, وولده, then his children and all the people. He must love me the most. Now how do we love Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That the thought doesn't come in my mind also. When I'm showing so much love to my wife, my children, sometimes grandchildren, nephews, nieces. But that amount of love I'm showing them, I should have more love than that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How to engender that type of love in the heart? So Hazrat says that one of the ways to engender that love in the heart for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to study his sirat. If you don't know about him, how are you going to love him? If you haven't read about him, haven't studied his life, don't know his features, don't know what he did in the certain months, there is no connection. Birthday, we know there's a connection there. Alright, and expression of love and muhabbat. Right, the wife will get upset, oh, you don't know it's my birthday. Children will say also, now you forgot. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not only one birthday. He says every day of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how do I connect? So as I mentioned, that today now, South Africa, we are 26th Dhul Qa'dah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he set out for Hajj, what date did he leave? So if I know the dates, where was he today, where he slept the night, then tomorrow where he proceeded, who was with him, all the amal that took place, this was the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum now were learning for the first time all the laws of Hajj. Now the Hajjis also, they are preparing. Many of them are Medina Munawwara. Some are leaving for Makkah Mukarramah. So our hearts are with them. The heart should be with them. And more now with the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a beautiful kitab that we will read from. There's too much detail now to encompass everything, but as much as we can. And the intention is, if the brothers have the istidad and ability, it might be a bit long, but obviously we can't finish the entire kitab in one night. So if possible, we will continue tomorrow night, Wednesday. Thursday we have majlis, Friday night maybe after Isha, just 1 hour every night, till around next week. We have a few days over there. If the satis are ready, alright, so then at least we can connect to the Hujjaj over there and to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his final Hajj about. This now was a climax and the pinnacle of the Amal of Nubuwat. To all these years, finally Allah Ta'ala has called him, now come finally to Baytullah for the final Hajj. So this beautiful kitab, the title of the kitab, Safarul Habib. Safarul Habib ila Bayti Rabbil Habib. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful title. Safarul Habib, the journey of the beloved one. The journey of the beloved ila Bayti, to the house of Rabbil Habib. To the house of the Rabb of the beloved. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making the final safar now to the Rabb and the owner and the Rabb of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This kitab was compiled by Mufti Sa'ad Abdul Razak, who is an ustaz who qualified in Alama Binuri town, Karachi. And the tarjuma translation, mashallah, was one of our great akabir of our country, as Mawlana Shabir Ahmed, Saluji Sahib, Dhamma Barakatuhu, Darulum, Zakaria principle. He translated this kitab. So this kitab more or less starts on page number 4. We'll just go through the contents quickly. So we have just an overview of the kitab, what we'll discuss. So one is the forward, the translator's note, in the obligation of Hajj and the Hajj of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How many times did Rasulullah s.a.w. perform Hajj? When Rasulullah s.a.w. expressed the intention of Hajj, when did he express that? The commencement of the journey, staying at Zul Hulayfa, then Ihram and Talbiya, Rasulullah s.a.w. performed Hajj Qiran. All you should know about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The cupping of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed feet, hunting of a white antelope, ruling of hunting while in the state of Ihram, cupping of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed head, then the fourth stop at Urj, then at Abwa, then the stop at Wadi Usfan, the stay at Sarf, Dhu Tuwa and Wadi Azraq, all these are places that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had stopped. Arrival in Makkatul Mukarramah, that's page 22. The Tawaf of Baytullah, completing the Tawaf, the Sa'i of Safa and Marwa, the order to come out of Ihram for those who did not bring sacrificial animals with them. The return of Ali radiallahu anhu from Yemen. He came straight directly from Yemen. Staying in Makkah Mukarramah upon the conclusion of Umrah, traveling towards Mina, the plain of Arafah, fasting on the day of Arafah, departing from Arafah, leaving Muzdalifah, then the valley of Muhassar. Some say Muhassir, some say Muhassar. Now all these things we should know, that is where Abraha and his army were destroyed. That is in one part of Muzdalifah. The khutbah of Mina, staying in Mina, and the slaughter of Hajj, staying in Mina and shaving the head, Tawafu Ziyara, the days of Tashriq and the pelting of the Jamarat, staying in Mina and visiting the Baytullah, the revelation of Surah Al-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ, the last complete surah to be revealed. Staying in Muhassab and the farewell Tawaf, the Umrah of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha from Tan'im. That's why they have the masjid, they call Masjidu Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, through her barakat we got that masjid. And then the return journey, the sermon of Ghadir Khum, the Hajj of children, arriving in Medina Munawwara, the sermons of the farewell Hajj, conclusion, and then the next kitab is the final demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we'll begin this kitab, as I mentioned now, to fall in love with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to know his entire life. So every time we're connecting to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Ruh Sharif comes out from the heart. Where my Nabi was now? What was he doing now? Where was he sleeping tonight? Right? There was no mattress over there. There was no inflatable mattresses over there. How he spent the night, and the whole galaxy of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that were with him. So the first chapter will discuss the obligation of Hajj and the Hajj of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the year 9 Hijri, the following commandment of the Qur'an Sharif was revealed, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسُنُ فَلَا يَقْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. This is in 10 para. That all you who believe the polytheists, the mushrikeen are indeed impure, najasun, they are impure. فَلَا يَقْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ. So Allah Ta'ala declared, so they should not approach Masjid al-Haram after this year. And now it's closed for them. Now they should not come anymore to Masjid al-Haram. Surah Tawbah, verse 28. According to the predominant opinion and view, Hajj became obligatory in the same year. That was the ninth year of Hijrah. There are many views. Some say 5, some say 7, some say 8. But the most acceptable view is the ninth year of Hijri, that Hajj became fard. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reluctant to perform Hajj alongside the mushrikeen. Now the command came down, they shouldn't come. And then also the command came down that you should make Hajj. Alright? So he was reluctant now to perform Hajj with the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, and those who associate partners with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in any and every form. As they used to perform tawaf of the Ka'batullah in a state of nakedness. At night time, they used to come like this. And then also, the type of ibadat on the Baytullah, وَمَا كَانَ صَلَاتُمْ عِنْدَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا مُكَاءً وَتَصْدِيَةً. They used to clap hands and whistle. Like how you find our people on Sundays, right? They make one drink and how they do their prayer. Alright, clapping hands and whistling. That's how they used to make tawaf of Baytullah, with no clothes on. And they, well, you wouldn't call it logic also. But it was to them now, that how can we make tawaf of Allah Ta'ala's house which is pure, with impure clothing, in which you make guna and sin. That's why they were building their homes now far from the Baytullah. So they didn't feel the discomfort of disobeying Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. build their houses a bit far away. So he felt uncomfortable to make tawaf with them or hajj with them. Therefore, in that year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the 9th year Hijri as the Amir of Hajj, the leader of Hajj, and publicly declared in Masjid al-Haram that no mushrik would be allowed to enter his boundaries in the future. Elan was made, and messengers were sent around the Haram area. Then from this year onwards, no mushrikin will be allowed now in the Baytullah, in the Masjid al-Haram. Once the Haram Sharif was purified from the presence of the polytheists, the mushrikin, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam resolved to undertake the pilgrimage in the following year, and that is the 10th year of Hijri. Other ulama explain also that the 9th year of Hijri was called Amul Wufud. You'll find in Madinatul Munawwar, among the pillars you got there, Ustawanatul Wufud. Wufud means delegations. This is when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to receive guests, what you call Jamaat used to come. And they used to meet them, and then Ta'aruf used to take place. I have Ta'arufi Bayan, where you are from, what you have come for. And then this discussion used to take place from there, and from there used to dispatch also Jamaat in that part of the masjid. But that year was called Amul Wufud because many people were coming into the fold of Islam. Many Jamaats were coming. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very busy with setting up all his Jamaats, etc. So he gave more importance to that, and next year I will make my Hajj. Then how many times did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam perform Hajj? After the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam performed only one Hajj. Only one Hajj which occurred in the 10th year of Hijri, known as a farewell Hajj, Hajjatul Wada'. In a hadith recorded in Tirmizi Sharif, the following is narrated by Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember this name, Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah. He's the main Rawi and narrator of the Hajj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Most of the riwayat come from him. So he was there right through, with his eyes and his heart wide open, and documenting and recording everything. So he says, أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حج ثلاثة حجج حجتين قبل أن يهاجر وحجة بعدما هاجر ومعها عمرة. He says, verily Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم completed three Hajj pilgrimages, two before his migration, according to his riwayat, his narration, two before his migration, and one after it. But then Umrah performed during the last one. So the last Hajj, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Umrah and Hajj. Whereas before, it was common and it was known that if you don't make Umrah, you only can make Umrah, you can't make Hajj. You come for Hajj, you only can make Hajj. So it was the barakah of the Hajjatul Wada' that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam combined both. That in one safar, Allah has allowed you now to take the barakah of two great ibadats. Not that you have to come for Hajj, Umrah some other time. You get the reward of a complete Umrah, and you can make your Hajj also in the same safar. Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Fath al-Bari, which is a commentary on Bukhari Sharif, asserts without doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not forsake Hajj while he resided in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Meaning there also he made Hajj. And Hayat al-Sahaba, you'll find the entire chapter there on the da'wat and the invitation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam during Musimul Hajj, the season of Hajj. That for years he would go camp to camp, camp to camp, that who will listen to me, who will take me in, may yansuruni, may yu'mini, hatta uballigh risalata rabbi. He would mention this, that who will assist me, who will give me asylum, who will take me in. So ulama explained, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for those 13 long years in Makkah Mukarramah, he would go every year during Hajj to Ukaz and Majinna. These are the marketplaces. And he would go and give them da'wah. Then he would go to Mina also and give them the da'wah that who will assist me and who will take me in. What it meant, that who will take me back home with him. I can't live here anymore. Things are going too difficult. And they would chase him away sometime. They say like a beggar, go from 10 to 10, please take me back home. Please listen to my da'wah. Let me convey their message to you. But no one was interested. For year after year, to the extent is mentioned in some riwayat, that when he would go after so many years back to the same clan and tribe, they would tell him, you heard your da'wah already, please go from here. How long are you going to come again? We're not interested. They would tell him in that tone, we're not interested. How long are you going to carry on coming? Please go from here. The one sahabi, but they were sahabi, they were not young boy, he narrates also, that he was in Mina, and he sees some people gathering, and a man is calling out. So he said, I went on to tiptoe. Do you see who is that? So he asks his father, who is that? He says, somebody called Muhammad. He claims to be a prophet in Nabi, but stay far from him. So like this for 12, 13 long years, but Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's Shan, Allah's Karam, 10th year, 11th year, at that time when he was in Mina, there's been Allah Ta'ala already decreed that the Ansar will be there, Madina Munawwara. And he walked past them, approached them, and he began to speak to them. So they say Allah Ta'ala had chosen the 6-7 Sahaba Ikram to listen to his da'wat. It was the khush nasib. Khush nasib, the good fortune. These are the first Ansar of Madina Munawwara. What a thing that they did, that they listened, and Allah Ta'ala, their hearts melted, and they accepted Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. He said, you come to Madina Munawwara, we have good people there, we have the power also, we have the strength, we'll protect you. And Allah Ta'ala just turned their hearts. Right? And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam's Nana, and Nani, his mother's family, was from Madina Munawwara. So he had a link to Madina Munawwara also. During Mi'raj also, when he was going to Al-Aqsa, then they also, the Baraq, where Jibreel alayhi salatu stopped in Yathrib, Madina Munawwara. He saw the date palm trees. He alighted from his conveyance. Jibreel told him, the 2 rakat namaz over here is a blessed valley. This will be the place of a hijrah. So Allah Ta'ala decreed that the Ansar will come. So they came, right, over 3 years. And then finally, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the hijrah. There were many others also. There was Maysara, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whose camp Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to. So Maysara was an intelligent young man. So he heard the da'wat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressed the people of his clan. So they heard, they were giving him a hearing, some of them. Then they told him, "But we like what you say, but we're not ready as yet. We're not a very strong nation. We have to take you, we are taking trouble back home. Because the entire Arab nation will come against us, and we don't have the strength to stand against them. So we like what you are saying, but unfortunately we can't take you back." You know, like how a person goes for a job interview, he really needs a job. Tell him, "No, you're a good candidate, but sorry, we've got no job for you." How you feel so broken, ya Allah. Now, another CV am I sent out, another CV. This wasn't CV, this is the messenger of Allah. So Maysara, when he saw, Nabi Ali saw his reaction, he could see this boy was interested. So he spoke to him even more. And he was convinced. He says, "I'd love to believe in you, but I'm one of the men of this tribe. So I cannot be just one man alone believing in you. The entire clan, my elders are, don't believe in you." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put his head down and he left. He left, disheartened. So Maysara tried with the elders, but they didn't budge. So as they were returning back to their hometown, or to their village, so they were passing a place called Fadak, Ghaliban, a place called Fadak where the Jews were there, the rabbis there. So he told his people, "Let's talk about the Jews, they have the scriptures, I'm sure they have some prophecies about the last Nabi, let's go and ask them." So they went to them. So the Jewish rabbi opened the scriptures and he began to read that Ja'a alal Jamal, that the final Nabi will come riding a camel. Already ticked, he came with the camel to see us. And to the such fine description, described his hair also, won't be too wavy, nor too straight. His complexion also, not very fair, little tinge of redness to his skin. Not very short, not very tall, just in between, but he look taller than everyone else. And he will suffice upon pieces of roti and bread. When he heard all this, he got so excited, he said, "This is him, this is him. Let's go back. If we take him with us, we are the fortunate nation. We got the final Nabi who we've been hearing about." So Allah said, no, we're not going back. Next year we'll go. When he came next year, Hajj, they refused to go. They said, "No, next, we're not going this year. The next few years we're not going." So they all got left out. Finally, years after, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made Hijrah and came to Madina Munawwara. Then one day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam puts his head up and he says, "Maysara came." After all those years, "Oh Nabi of Allah, do you recognize me? I know you, Maysara. How can I forget it? It was those days. You know, somebody helped you, gave you a helping hand, or gave you some this thing, moral support, you don't forget. Say, "I remember you, Maysara." I said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I've come finally to accept Islam. He said, "The men of my clan, oh Nabi of Allah, what will be their lot? They have passed on already. Oh Maysara, they've lost it. They begin to the fire of Jahannam." Allah Ta'ala saved him. So all those years, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to go to, but there was a difference now in the Hajj of the Mushrikeen. They never used to go to Arafah. The neighbor used to go to Arafah, because Arafah is out of the boundaries of the Haram area. You see, we have the Masjid al-Haram, it has these boundaries as a masjid. Then you have the Haram area. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before him, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built the Baytullah, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended and took Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and pegged and designated that the Haram will end here, it will end at Arafah, it will end over here, it will end over here. So the entire map, we have it also, where the Haram boundaries are, like the one we know commonly is Tan'im. Now you're coming out of the boundary of the Haram area. Right, but it's still within the Miqat. Miqat is something else. There's three terms we use. Like when you go to South Africa now, if you're taking a direct flight to Jeddah, so you pass a place called Yalamlam. Alright, we're just after Yemen. That's our cut-off point to put on Ihram. Yalamlam. Then you have Ji'irana, Adatu Qarnin, and you have Dhul Hulayfa, which you know Medina Munawwara. So all these are Miqats. This all comes in the Hadith Sharif. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam mentioned these by name. This will be the Miqat. You are going to Baytullah, nobody can come in his normal clothing, special place, special garb. So we have the Miqat. Once you pass the Miqat, then between the Miqat and the Haram area, it's called Al-Hil. It's called the Hil area. So people stay there also. So you got the Hil. And thereafter, once you pass the Hil, then you come to the Haram area. So during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel came down and showed him this is the. Then even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, once again during his period of time, thereafter he renewed, these are the spots. So these hudud, because of hudud al-haram. Hudud al-haram is already designated. So Hajj was taking place, but they never used to go to Arafah. When he came to now to final Hajj, now all his Sahaba ikram were there before, now they are waiting to see now how it will be like the Hajj of Jahiliyyah or anything different. But coming back now to how many Hajj Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he says in the commentary of Bukhari Sharif Fathul Bari that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not forsake Hajj while he was in Makkah al-Mukarrama. بَلِ الَّذِي لَا أَرْتَابَ فِي أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَتْرُكْ الْحَجَّ وَهُ بِمَكَّةَ قَطُّ. Ibn Hajar says in volume 8, page 107, what I have no doubt about is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never abandoned Hajj while he was in Makkah Mukarramah. So even there he made Hajj all those years. Ibn Athir rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to perform Hajj every year before his migration. So they also used to go for Hajj. Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah further elaborates that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed Hajj so frequently that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the exact number. So you find this became the habit of many of our akabir. 60 years Hajj, 70 years Hajj. I remember recently I heard Imam Harun Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, Abbas Umar, he made about 40, I think, or 50. Somebody mentioned to me, every year he used to go. Allah for his qabr al-nur. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expressed the intention of Hajj, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam resolved to perform Hajj in the 10th year of the Hijrah, he announced to the people his intention to undertake the pilgrimage. We can imagine now the thrill. Here we hear now somebody going for Hajj, already we get excited, but you're going for Hajj, I'm leaving tomorrow, reach Medina Munawwara. Yeah, the Nabi of Allah made his i'lan already. This news was swiftly spread far and wide and throughout the vicinity of Madinatul Munawwara, prompting believers from all corners to converge in the blessed city of Madina Munawwara. The influx of people was so immense that the roads became full, teeming with countless hujjaj or pilgrims, either to join Rasulullah's caravan, eager to join Rasulullah's caravan on the blessed journey. Accompanying him were his noble wives, all of them he took with him. All Azwaj Mutahharat. And as the journey progressed, more and more individuals continued to join the procession. Imam Nasa'i rahimahullah ta'ala narrates on the authority of the Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when Nabi alayhi salatu salam announced his intention to perform Hajj, such was the response that there remained scarcely anyone who was capable either by mount or foot but did not heed the call. They all came. You don't want to get left out. Everywhere one looked ahead, behind, to the right and left, there were only people as far as the eye could see. Their numbers were beyond counting. In his previous battle, the Battle of Tabuk, the participants numbered 100,000. In the Battle of Tabuk, 100,000. The farewell Hajj took place after the Battle of Tabuk, and most likely this figure increased during the Hajj. Various traditions estimate the number of Hujjaj differently. Some suggest 114,000. Others say 124,000. While yet another account places the figure at 130,000. So they have three views, 114,000, 124,000, and 130,000. These things now we're sharing, but we should know. Because you want to know, this year how many Hujjaj were there? 2 million, 3 million. Our mind must go back, how many Hujjaj were there at that time? Sahaba Ikram, how blessed they were. The commencement of the journey. Before embarking on this journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed regarding the designated boundaries, miqat. As I mentioned, the different miqat we have. As narrated by Ibn Majah, on the authority of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the people of Medina Munawwara are to assume ihram from Zul Hulayfa. There's a cut-off point. Few miles out of Medina Munawwara, they can't pass. If they're going to Baytullah, Hajj Umrah, they have to put on ihram from here, not after that. The people of Asham, coming from the north, from Al-Juhfa, please call Juhfa. The people of Yemen like us also, coming from the south, from Yalamlam. The people of Najd, to the east from Qarn, and the people of the east from their respective tribes, they put on the ihram from there. Additionally, in Sahih al-Bukhari, as Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah narrates the following. He said, أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَامَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ تَأْمُرُنَا أَن نُهِلَّ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُهِلُّ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ مِنْ ذِي الْحُلَيْفَةِ. A man stood up in the masjid and asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from where should we enter ihram for Hajj? One very important point also, Abdullah bin Mas'ud who said radiallahu anhu, when he came to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, أَقَلُّ تَكَلُّفًا. They were very informal. If they wanted to know something, they would ask. They were simple people, not sophisticated, they were sophisticated in iman and a'mal. But when it came to things that they wanted to know, they would ask openly. There was time and there was place also. So from where should we enter into ihram, Ya Rasulullah? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied that the people of Medina should do so from Zul Hulayfa. Prior to departure, he appointed Abu Dujana, and possibly the Sabah bin Arfata, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as his deputies in Medina Munawwara. So one is Abu Dujana, he was appointed right to see over the affairs of Medina Munawwara, and some riwayat say it was Sabah bin Arafata. Setting out from Medina Munawwara via Ash-Shajara, the route called Ash-Shajara during the day, a significant location linked to the birth of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Remember this now. So on that route now, the birth of Muhammad bin Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu took place. How old was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Was 62 already. Alright, so he already having a son at that age. His wife gave birth during that time. So they say, Ash-Shajara during the day, that was the route, a significant location linked to the birth of Muhammad bin Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from the womb of Hazrat Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, was his wife, Asma binti Umais. It was marked by an acacia tree situated 6 miles away from Medina Munawwara, and it was common for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to stop there for purposes of adorning the ihram. So she gave birth there, at that spot over there. They departed from Medina Munawwara on a Saturday after Zuhur Salah. Saturday after Zuhur Salah, either on the 24th, today is now is the 26th, right? Makkah Mukarramah is 27th. So we're just using our calendar now. So on the 24th, or as per the preferred opinion, on the 25th of Zulqa'dah. So after Zuhur. So they left Medina Munawwara. So for us in our mind now, it was today. It just passed. Today after Zuhur, it was a Saturday, Yomus Sabt. So they left from Medina Munawwara. There are 29 days in that particular month of Zulqa'dah. And the first of Zulhijjah was a Thursday, Yomul Khamis. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam reached Makkah Mukarramah 4 days later on Sunday, the 4th of Zulhijjah. The 4th of Zulhijjah. And the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah, fell on a Friday, Yomul Jumu'ah. Before departing from Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah ﷺ performed 4 rakats of the Zuhur Salah and delivered a khutbah. That was now for us, was today passed after Zuhur. The Zuhur Salah performed 4 rakats. So he shows he was still Muqeem. If he was already in Zul Hulayfa, should have been 2 rakats then. But he had 4 rakats Zuhur, then he gave a khutbah today, so to say. guiding the people regarding the regulations of Ihram. Right, all the different rules and regulations. This occurred during the 10th year of the Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dressed in humble attire. His blessed hair neatly brushed and oil applied. Upon leaving Madinah Munawwara, he halted at Zul Hulayfa to establish camp. He's staying at Zul Hulayfa. Zul Hulayfa is located about 8 or 9 kilometers from Madinah Munawwara. Nowadays, it is commonly known as Bi'r Ali or Bi'r Ali. Bi'r means valley. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The entire area is referred to as Wadi Aqiq. Wadi al-Aqiq with the Ayn al-Naqaf. Right, this now is mentioned in the riwayat also. That Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down to the Nabi of Allah, you must camp here. This is Wadi Aqiq, is a blessed valley, put on Ihram from here. So everything was done, guided by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So everything has its barakat. Upon his arrival as al-Hulifa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed two rakats of the Asr. Salah al Musafir. Before rakat Zuhr, khutbah, this neatly left, then came to Zul Hulayfa, read Asr Salah there, two rakats. He then performed the Maghrib and the Isha at Zul Hulayfa, spending the night at this location. That was Saturday night, according to Islamic day and night, was Sunday night, because in Islam, first the our day starts with the night. So, just for our understanding, night was that Saturday evening, spend the night over there. So read Asr, Maghrib and Isha. The following day, he also performed the Fajr Salah and Zuhur day. That now is Sunday. So to say, our yesterday, right? Or tonight you can say. Right, today is the 26th. So tonight, spend the night there. Tomorrow, read the Fajr and the Zuhur. All the noble wives, Azwaj Mutahharat, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were also on this journey with him. At night he visited all his wives and thereafter Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took a ghusl of janabat. Later when he decided to enter into the state of Ihram, he performed a separate ghusl for that. That was during the night. So he took a ghusl, Fajr Salah, and then he took a ghusl for his Ihram. During this ritual, he used soap and applied perfume to his blessed body. To the ghusl before Ihram. The Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha applied fragrance with her own hands upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which was emanating from his blessed hair and beard. So they say also this is one sunnah. Before donning the ihram, right, for the wife to apply itar for you. So she applied it now to his blessed hair and beard. One riwayat says also that she says, I could see the shine of that itar in the path of his hair. She applied it properly on him. Alright? This comes in Bukhari Sharif also. Hadith number 1464, page 558. Additionally, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed talbid. What is talbid? This act refers to the application of a special resin to the hair so that it neatens the hair. Like some gel or something. You used to put that thing called talbid. So it's a resin that you apply to your hair so it stays neat. And it does not remain untidy or attract any form of lice, etc. The after Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam donned the two sheets of the haram and performed two rakats salah. There are differing views as to whether these two rakats were either for zuhur or nafil for ihram. These two rakats. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made intention for both Hajj and Umrah. So it seems that he performed these two rakats after the zuhur. After Asr, you can't read it. Alright, so he read it after zuhur. So there are differing views now, but he made intention for both Hajj and Umrah, as if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was entering into the state of Ihram for the Qiran Hajj. So we have three types of Hajj. You have the Qiran, the Hanafi Mazhab, the Afdal and the most preferred, most virtuous Hajj is the Qiran. That you put on one Ihram, you make complete Umrah every day, and you don't come out from Ihram. You still leave it on. So you went on the first of Zul Hijjah, you came to Makkah, Mukarramah, so you make your Umrah complete, Tawaf, Safa, Marwa, and you don't shave your hair. You remain in Ihram till the 10th. Almost 10 days. So it depends on what date you come into Makkah, whether you can manage 10 days, so long to be in Ihram. But that's the best. Then after that you get the Tamattu'. Right? Comes in the Quran. فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْأُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ. So Tamattu'ad is where you put on Ihram only for Umrah. So you finish your Umrah, Tawaf, Sa'i, shave your hair, come out from Ihram. Then on the 7th of Zulhijjah, or on the 6th, or on the 8th, any time before Hajj, we can put on Ihram again, anywhere in the Haram area. jag hotell och Azizia på grund av ihram igen, tog att salat och ihram, den är med niyat för hajj. So the miqat for that now is a haram area. Ifrad is the last one. So you got Qiran, Tamattu and Ifrad. Ifrad hajj is now, you make niyat from the miqat only for hajj and no umrah. So you come straight to the haram, you don't make umrah, you can make tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf called tawaf al-qudum, tawaf of greeting the Baytullah, of arrival, which is sunnah. And then you go, Eid al-Hijjah, then you go for hajj after that. So no umrah. So Nabi Ali salatu wasalam made Qiran hajj. So the riwayah says, أنه سمع أنه سمع ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما يقول إنه سمع عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه يقول سمعت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بوادي العقيق يقول أتاني الليلة آت من ربي فقال صلي في هذا الوادي المبارك وقل عمرة في حجة. So Ikrama narrated, he heard from Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما, who mentioned hearing from Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, who in turn stated that he heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam while they were in Wadi al-Aqiq. Which place is that? Surah Hulayfa, the place is called Wadi al-Aqiq. So I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, while he was there, that an angel from his Rabb had appeared to him during the night and instructed him to pray in this blessed valley. Furthermore, the angel, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, conveyed the message that the Umrah had been included. Umrah had been included as part of the rites of Hajj. This is a new law now. It's a new rule that you can make Umrah and Hajj in one safar, in one journey. Bukhari Sharif. Ihram and Talbiya. Upon completing the five salah during his one day layover at Zul Hulayfa, that was Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr and Zuhr. So five salah there. After Zuhr, he read Surah Ghassalat al-Ihram and he made his intention. So after this five salah in his layover at Zul Hulayfa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the intention for both Hajj and Umrah and recited the Talbiyah aloud. Where? The Zul Hulayfa, where the masjid is now. That time they used to put bricks around, stones. That became a masjid. It was open. Alright? So for us in our mind now, this will happen tomorrow. Alright? On the 26th. So we're reading this now today, so tomorrow when you wake up, we're getting Nabi of Allah Fajr Namaz al-Hulayfa this morning. And then he was here the entire morning. Then the night he visited his wife. Ghusl, Fajr Salah. Then he made Ghusl again before Zuhur most probably. Had his two rakat Salatul Zuhur. And then he made his two rakat Salatul Ihram. And the angel came tonight. This is a blessed valley. Then you should perform your Salatul Ihram here and make niyat for Hajj and Umrah and Hajj together. So he made Talbiyah aloud. He encouraged his companions to join him in reciting Talbiyah loudly, stating that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had advised him to do so as per the following narration. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum followed suit, raising their voices in dua and in Talbiyah. So remember now, there were so many Sahaba ikram. All couldn't be near him. There was no mic system. So everyone around him heard it. Many of them were far away. Camp Paro, he camped out. So waiting now, that what's the next guidelines, what's the next rule, what's the regulations. So those who are around, he told them, recite your Talbiyah loudly. Also it comes in the riwayat, that Al-Hajju, Al-Hajju, Al-Thajju. What is real Hajj? Al-Hajju. Hajju means raf'u al-sawt bi Talbiyah. To raise a voice with Talbiyah. This is real Hajj. To raise a voice with Talbiyah. Al-Ajju wa Thajju. Thajju refers to Isalatu al-Dam. To make the blood flow. Qurbani. That is Hajj. Raising your voice in Talbiyah and calling out to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and Qurbani day you are slaughtering. Like Nabi alayhi salatu slaughtered 63 camels with his own hands on the day of Qurbani. So in the riwayat says of Tirmidhi Sharif, Atani Jibreel fa'amarani an'amura ashabi ayyarfa'u aswatahum bil-ihlali wa Talbiyah. That Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me, fa'amarani, he commanded me that I should command my sahaba that they should raise their voices with the niyat for ihram and with talbiyah. Say it loudly. While continuing on his journey, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept on reciting the following well-known talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Now the meaning of this also, there are about 5-6 different interpretations what it means of Labbaik. But the common one, Labbaik means, here I am, O Allah, here I am. Labbaik actually is a dual word. Means two times. Ya Allah, I'm here over and over again, never to leave you. So here I am, O Allah, here I am, here I am. You have no partner. La sharika lak, here I am. Verily, inna alhamda wa ni'mata. Verily, all praise and blessings are yours. And dominion and power too belongs to you. You have no partner. So you are confirming, Ya Allah, I am here till my last breath. Never ever to leave you. So this is the call of the haji. Fazali Hajj, also a beautiful incident mentioned of Hazrat Shaykh. He says about a person was making Hajj, I think was it his 80th Hajj, I think, something like that. And he had his nephew with him. So when he made Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, then there was a voice in the unseen, La Labbaik wa La Sa'adik. Ya Labbaik, is that welcome? No, are you fortunate? He burst out crying. So nephew told him, oh uncle, why are you proceeding then? He said, for the last 80 years I'm getting this reply. And then the voice came, that you are welcome finally. That you are welcome finally. He said, how can I leave the door of my Allah? I will still come year after year. So Allah Ta'ala accepts me. From where did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proclaim his talbiyah? So there's much difference of opinion. And intention of ihram. There are three distinct narrations on this subject matter. First one, from the place of salah, the masjid. From there he made niyat, Allahumma inni uridul. The Arabic intention, Allahumma inni uridul umrata wal hajjah. فَيَسِّرْهُمَا لِي وَتَقَبَّلْهُمَا مِنِّي. والله أريد I intend to make العمرة والحج عمران حج فيسرهما لي make them both easy for me وتقبلهما مني and accept both from me. So ulama say, how come you making this dua for Hajj? Why do you make same dua for namaz also? Allah make it easy, accept it. He said, because salah is short time and is one place, so not difficult. Hajj now, there's a deadline place I have to go to, so ya Allah make it easy and accept it from me. So we make that for dua for Hajj. So one was from there, he made the intention. Now remember, we have three narrations. These narrations came from most Sahaba Ikram. So accordingly, whether Sahabi heard the intention talbiyah, he says Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made it here. So it means you heard it there. Possible he made it before also. Therefore we have different narrations. So one narration is that he made it at the place where he performed Salatul Ihram. The second one, when mounting his horse or camel. Because when he mounted, again he made Labbaik loudly. So those Sahaba heard it there, so they say he made Labbaik only when he mounted his conveyance. The third one, upon ascending to the high rise of Baida. Baida was a hillock. So as he began to ascend over there, again he shouted loudly, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. So those who are around him, they heard it. So they say he made the talbiyah over here. So before making the intention of a haram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed a garland around the sacrificial animals and marked the hump with color. So there's two things. One is taqleed and ish'ar. These two words we use. Taqleed and ish'ar, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took his camels with him. These are large animals. They are called budunun. Badanatun budunun. Budunun comes in Qur'an. Wal-budna ja'alnaha lakum min sha'airillah. Lakum fiha khair. Comes in the surah of Hasuratul Hajj. So budunun refers to the camel, large animals. So it's sunnah also, for the large animals you take with you for Hajj, that you garland it. Now how you put the garland? You put a rope around it, and there is the handle of a jug, this lota we use in the toilet. Alright, broken handle, or even like a old champal, sandal, beach strong, tie it to it. There was a sign now, this animal now is a hadi animal. Hadi animal refers to an animal that's now to be slaughtered in the haram for Hajj. Nobody interfere with it. You can't milk it, you can't ride it. You want to eat anyway, you let it eat. Now this is already in the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So he garlanded his large animals. You don't do this for sheep and goat, only for the large ones, for cattle and for camels. So he garlanded, and also ish'ar means this, to pierce the hump a bit. Little blood comes out and you smear it on the hump. It's also a sign to say, this animal now is a hadi. هَدْيًا بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ أَوْ كَفَّارَةٌ تَعَمُ comes in the Quran. هَدْيًا بَالِغَ هَدِي animal that reaches the Kaaba Sharif. So he did that, serving as a distinctive sign for those who are viewing from afar that these are sacrificial animals. You can't ride them. Yes, they say we have to milk them, because if we don't milk the female of these animals, they begin to get fever and sick. So there is permission given, but you give the milk now to the fuqara and the poor ones. You can't. If you have to partake of it, then you got to pay for it. Because these are special animals that are destined for the Haram Sharif. So Nabi of Allah took all the animals with him. Azwaj al-Mutahharat also. And they began to move. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed Hajj al-Qiran as a form by more than 20 authentic ahadith. 20. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed Qiran Hajj. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, his tafsir is very famous in his kitab called Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya. Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya means the beginning and the end. It's a beautiful kitab. It's written in many volumes where he speaks about the creation of insan, Lohi Mahfuz, the qalam, the pen, how the whole thing came from the beginning. And he discusses all the riwayat, Adam alayhi salam, Shis alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, all anbiya. Right from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, thereafter till Qiyamah. So he speaks about the beginning and the end. So he writes in his kitab. So he's collected these narrations in his kitab Al-Bidayah wa-Nihaya. Furthermore, he has elaborated upon and clarified other narrations which may seem contradictory to this view. Some say it wasn't Quran. Some say it was Tamattu. Some say it was Ifarad. He says, no, it was Quran. 20 narrations. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam granted the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum permission to choose a haram for the type of Hajj they preferred. Left it open to them. Whatever you want to do. Upon reaching Makkatul Makkah, remember now, they didn't know all these details. It was all just coming now, waqi'i. As things were happening, then the laws were coming down. That's why these are very special days of Zulqa'dah. All these ahkam and rules were coming down from the skies. Ibn Ali Sahib was coming. Every step, few steps, it must do this, must do that. So Nabi alayhi salatu granted permission to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu to choose a haram for the type of hajj they preferred. Upon reaching Makkatul Mukarrama, those without animals, those that didn't take animals with them, sacrificial animals, were advised by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to annul the ihram for hajj, to cancel your ihram for hajj, and substitute it into the ihram of umrah. Because you didn't bring animals with you, so you must make umrah first now. This comes in Sahih Muslim. While the caravan was stationed at Zul Hulayfa, the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Asma bint Umays radiallahu ta'ala anha, gave birth to their son Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. So she gave birth over there in Zul Hulayfa. So he was born there. When she queried the ruling through her husband, now see all these are the laws now. She is now in nifas, postnatal bleeding. What must I do now? So Allah's great rahmat on this ummah. This was a ruling that was dished out. It happened to Sahaba-i-Karam. And then the rulings came down. So when she queried the ruling through her husband, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stated that she should take a ghusl, a ritual purification, and enter the state of ihram. Obviously she can't read Tulaka Salatul Ihram, because she's in nifas, postnatal bleeding. But she can make the intention of ihram. Even a woman in hayz in her days also, she can't read Tulakats, alright? We can buy a Dubai, or Duha, whatever it is. They got the normal clothing on, they just make the niyat of umrah or hajj or both, depending what they're doing, and labbaik, and you're already in ihram. While adorning the haram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam supplicated me dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the hajj, they call the sunnah, to ask to accept the hajj, and to keep it without ostentation, la riya'afi, all fame, to the following dua, Ibn Majah riwayat, Allahumma hajjatan, la riya'afi'a, فيها ولا سمعة. So Nabi Ali Ismi Dua Allah, enable me to make Hajj without any showing off, without any showing off, in the sense of desire that others witness one's good acts. Alright, sometimes we don't realize to the Hajj, you do, discussing Hajj, yeah, I know the route. Last year we walked the route. Hajj, you were there last year also. Even the previous year, we do different route. It's Riyah now. You must know how many Hajj I made, I know all the routes, I know all the shortcuts. They say, Majulak, you don't know. Yes, if I ask you, give me some guidance, fine. The adab also, they say, if you heard the bayan over again, you heard the story, and somebody is telling you, you say, I know it. Listen to it again. Sometimes the wife, right, she's telling you a story. No, I heard the story, I know it already. Listen to it again, like you never heard it. Allah will give you tawfiq of amal. Listen to it again. So Allah, no showing off in this hajj. Oh, sum'ah. Show off related to desire that others hear about one's good acts. Either people see me or they hear about it. Ya Allah, see me from that type of hajj. Then the cupping of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam blessed feet. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reached Malal, a place called Malal, he performed cupping of his blessed feet. Malal is located between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. It is mentioned in Mu'jam al-Buldan that it is 28 miles from Medina Munawwara. There he did cupping. Then hunting of a white antelope. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reached Roha. Brothers been to Roha? Bi'r Roha? Get water from there. Situated approximately 74 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara, which is still known by the same name, he encountered a wounded white antelope. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to leave it be until its owner, the one who has been hunting it, arrives. Somebody has already wounded it. So, because it's wounded, so it belongs to somebody. Shortly after, a man from the Bahas tribe who had inflicted the kill shot approached and deferred the decision to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, Ya Rasulullah, it is for you to decide what you should do about it. In response, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to distribute the meat, meaning cut it, make it halal, and distribute the meat. Since the person who had hunted the antelope was not in the state of ihram, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not prohibit consuming its meat. Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam journeyed towards Atiyah or Athiya, a location en route to Jufa, approximately 25 farsakhs or 75 miles away from Medina Munawwara. At this place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encountered a deer with arrows lodged in its body, resting in the shade of a sand dune. However, due to uncertainty regarding whether the hunter or the deer was in the state of ihram, if a person is in ihram and he hunts an animal, is it halal for him to consume that animal? Once you're in ihram, then it's a pact and it's a promise to Allah not to interfere with the animals of the haram. You can't hunt. لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Quran says, لا تقتلوا الصيد. Do not go hunting, don't kill the animal, or else you are in ihram. If you kill an animal in ihram, the animal becomes haram. Nobody can eat it. It's meta, it's carrion. So it was uncertain whether the hunter or the deer was in the state of ihram. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forbade anyone from approaching it, adhering to the Quranic injunction, لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم. Do not kill the hunted while you are in the state of ihram. So there are rules for ihram, rules for the haram. When you help deny it, what do you say, crimes or prohibitions? There are two types. When a person is in ihram, so one is now because he's in ihram, there are prohibitions for him. Right? If he violates any of them, then there's a violation upon his ihram. Then you have now rules in regards to the haram area. Then there also, you have violations against the haram. Sometimes a person perpetrates both violation against his ihram and the haram. Now if he hunts in the haram area, it's double violation. Because any animals that are found within the haram area, the hudud haram, that are prey animals, that you prey upon them. Meaning they are animals that are wild, they are born in wilderness, and they have, protective mechanisms to protect themselves. Like birds of prey, they can fly away, or they have talons, they have beaks. When it comes to buck, etc., they have horns. Right? So, under prey animals, what will be excluded now is sheep, goat. They're not born wild. Alright? Then you have even birds also. You have birds that are musarwal. They say birds that have pants. Anybody saw? Birds that have pants. We saw them in the bird park. They have feathers on the legs. Looks like a pants. You brother saw them, boy? Go for excursion, inshallah, you can see them. Right? They have, right through the head. So it's called a bird that has pants. So those are wild birds also. How they protect themselves? They don't attack you, they fly away. They have wings. So, the person in ihram, he can't hunt because in ihram, and if he's in the haram, because he's in the haram also, he can't hunt. So, it's a major sin, he's going to pay for it. So, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized the prohibition of hunting while in ihram, as per the sacred laws, for if anyone does hunt an animal during ihram, it will fall in the category of carrion. It will be carrion. Nobody can eat it now. Listen. In the cupping of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's head, while traveling, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed cupping of his blessed head at a location called Lahyul Jamal, Lahyul Jamal. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was a young boy that time. The demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this he was maybe about 13, 14 years old. Didn't have even a single strand of hair on his chin. Right, but he was in the front. About 12, 13 years old. What did he 12, 13 years old over here? About 12. Umar Salim, how old are you? Oh, he's 8 years old. Abu Dawud, how old is he? Dawud is 12. So that young boy now, he was there, already in the Hajj. So his narration, he narrates that Rasulullah ﷺ had cupping performed on his head due to a headache. He developed near a water place at Lahyu Jamal. احتجم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رأسه ومحرم من وجع كان به بماء يقال له لحيو جمل. Bukhari Sharif. Then the fourth stop, is the fourth stop on the journey, at a place called Urj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam arrived at Urj. Inshallah, 10 minutes time to conclude, inshallah. But is that alright? Just think now we're sitting Zul Khalifa, inshallah. Allah take us, inshallah. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. Nabi alayhi salatu said, وَأَرِنَا. This is the plural, eh? Allah take all of us. Imam making dua for himself only. But this dua also is plural. Allah show all of us. أَوْ مَنَاسِكَنَا, the rites of Hajj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam arrived at Urj, a prominent settlement on the route to Madina Munawwara, marking the fourth leg of the journey. Situated approximately 14 miles from Rawitha, he decided to make camp there. Now listen what happened over here now. So the luggage of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was loaded into a single camel overseen by the slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also accompanying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Asma binti Umais. So it was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq, and his daughter, the Aisha, and his wife Asma. As they settled down, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu awaited his slaves' return with food and drink. So I said, listen carefully, so you understand the system of dunya, how it operates now. However, upon the slaves' arrival, the camel was nowhere to be found. Concerned, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu questioned the whereabouts of the camel. The slave admitted that he had gone missing since the previous evening. Luggage didn't come. Dekho, what do you say? Hey, Hajj is spoiled. Airlines, what's the problem? Right? The Nabi of Allah, now what do we think now? Only karamats will happen. Mu'jizas, everything was flying. No, but dunya system is, attribute of dunya is difficulty, to give you taklif. This is a place of imtihan, examination. I mean, the Nabi of Allah is Hajjatul Wada. Everything should be going smoothly. But they go, from last night they were missing. Now you're telling me. Right? Now we get off now. They say the bags didn't come. So now you're telling us. We should check that before we boarded them. Check the app, whether they loaded the bags or not. At all. See what happened now. Then sometimes we find, you say, hey, as this bag didn't come, our bags came. What guna he did. That's how we think sometimes. What guna he did. So Ajib, just yesterday in Tafsir of Zahra al-Fasad fil Barri wal-Bahr, they also, they say because of our evil deeds, conditions come. But then too, they say not always like that. Because of evil deeds, bad conditions come. Not always. Not always that because a certain sabab or a certain cause is found, so the reaction must be found, not necessary. Like in Arif al-Quran is mentioned, the person has a headache, so he takes a tablet for it. Now tablet will mean there should be a reaction. Headache doesn't go away. Person has now constipation, so he takes some laxative. But he took some other medication now that blocked the amal and the effect of that one. So it's not necessary that always when there's a cause, there'll be a reaction. There could be something else causing something else to happen. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, that the people that will suffer the most amount of taklif and tribulation and trials will be anbiya. Now you think, what guna they? They are ma'asum diha. So he says, so Mufti Sahib mentions in his tafsir, that bala and difficulties not only comes because of evil deeds, they come as a test sometime to bring you closer to Allah, and for the very pious and the anbiya, is to raise them. So not always now, you did some guna, something happened over here. So they go over here, Nabi of Allah, Siddiqui Akbar. So the slave says on the previous evening, frustrated by his negligence, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu reprimanded the slave, expressing his displeasure through physical chastisement. The Shaykh wrote in his kitab, Fazail Hajj, Abu Bakr Siddiq gave him a few smacks. My word, smacks now. He beat him up a little bit. You know how the boy now, how you lost it, gave him a few shots a little bit. Why? Frustration. You didn't tell me, now you're telling me. When I'm waiting, Nabi of Allah settled down. He's waiting for the food also. Alright. Now, we can imagine now, Ramadan time, iftari was sitting, everybody's waiting. And after Shuaib Allah, pot didn't come still by. And the boys are talking, I said, you want to class, but you're waiting for the food here. So they, is that sunnah, eh? They say, sunnah too. Sunnah to hit the cook. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, look how he turned the entire scenario. Because he knew Abu Bakr is under pressure now. I'm seated waiting for the food. I said, camel got lost yesterday. He said, now you're telling me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam smiled. He smiled. Bags didn't come. No food, potkos bag, you forgot it. Potkos food bag, you forgot it. Happened to us one time also, we leave from Karachi, it was Ramadan also, from Lahore. Mess another sati. So we had iftar somewhere, and somebody packed for us two bags, carry bags of lovely food for Sari and iftari for the flight. Had some nice fruits and all there, so we had it in the trolley. As we came to the airport, Lahore airport, now we know it's a bit chaotic, checked in the bags, everything. So we said, now we'll go to the lounge, wherever it was. So when we entered the lounge, I said, hey, where's the food? He said, hey, I forgot it. I said, now how we saw it, it looks so nice. I said, chalo, boy. We're rosy now. Now we're making dua. So that lounge also was a very slow lounge. They only had juice and one, two things. So the whole night was just juices only. Then. So Nabi Ali smiled and he said, unzuru ila hadha al-muhrim, unzuru ila hadha al-muhrim, ma yasna'u. So how jovially he said it. Look at this muhrim, what he's doing. So he's a Jew, see what he's doing. He's a muhrim, he's an ihram, and he's hitting his slave. Look at him. So he made a joke of it. He recorded in Zarqani that upon hearing of the lost camel, the family of Fudala al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu presented a container of sweets to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Abu Bakr, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided an excellent meal for us. Despite this gesture, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained visibly upset with his attendant. In response, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam consoled him. Subhanallah, what muhabbat. Consoled him, don't worry about it now. Don't worry about it. Reminding him that ultimately control over matters lies not with them, but with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Turn him back to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, remain calm. You and I do not have control over this matter. You and I don't have control over this matter. Now we're going to go fight now with the officials. Where's the banks? What's the story? When is going to come? They're going to deliver. Right? Be calm. Allah will send it, don't worry. Soon after, Hazrat Sa'ad and Hazrat Abu Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhuma arrived with a camel, laden with all sorts of provisions. Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, we heard that the camel carrying your luggage is missing. Please accept this camel with the loaded provision. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa expressed his gratitude and informed them that his camel has been found. Camel had been a little bit test. Allah will test in Hajj also a little bit. Camel had been found. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa invoked blessings upon them and dua barakat for them. Allah ta'ala bless you all. At Abwa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam continued his journey until he reached a place called Abwa. Remember this place? Abwa. Zarqani rahimahullah has noted that there is a distance of 23 miles between Abwa and Juhfa. There is an elevated mountain at this location where the respected mother of Nabi alayhi salatu passed away and is buried. That is where he was standing next to her body, and she looked at him. Said, oh my Muhammad, who's going to look after you? You're now with the slave girl, with the domestic, and who's going to take care of you, born a yatim, and I'm leaving you now. And I'm leaving you now. That was a place called Abwa. During the stay at Abwa, Sa'ad bin Jathama presented the thigh of an antelope to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as a gift, However, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declined the offering and returned it. Note, as per the narration of Bukhari Sharif, the fifth stop was Harsha. It is one more, inshallah. Wadi Usfan. Subsequently, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam arrived at Usfan, situated approximately 36 miles away from Makkah Mukarramah, making the final boundary of Tihama. In the hadith of Masajid, recorded in Sahih Bukhari, Mur Dhahran is referred to as a sixth station where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam halted rather than Usfan. Presently, it is known as Wadi Fatima. It is located approximately 25 kilometers from Makkah Mukarramah. Upon reaching Wadi Usfan, also called Wadi Fatima, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inquired from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu about the valley they were in. What valley is this? Upon being informed, it was the valley of Usfan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remarked that both Nabi Hud alayhi salam and Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam had passed through this valley, reciting Talbiyah, and riding red camels whose reins were made from the bark of date palms while on their way to performing Hajj of the Baytullah. So he mentioned this is the valley that they went through. So the riwayat comes in Musnad Ahmad, لَقَدْ مَرَّ بِهِ هُودٌ وَصَادِحٌ عَلَى بَكَرَاتٍ حُمْرٍ خُطْمُهَا أَلِّيفُ أُزُرُهُمْ الْعَابَاءُ وَأَرْدِيَتُهُمْ النِّمَارُ يُلَبُّونَ يَحُجُّونَ الْبَيْتَ الْعَتِيقِ. As per the narration of Abu Dawood, Hadith Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a renowned Sahabi who embraced Islam during the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and also the same companion who wanted to intercept Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr Siddiq during the hijrah to Medina Munawwar, his name was Suraqa bin Malik. He heard 100 camels reward to capture Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the one that pursued Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as he came near to him, and he sunk into the sand with his horse 3 times. Then from Nabi of Allah, so Nabi told him, I'll make a deal with you. They don't tell anybody where we're going, which route we have taken, and the time will come, O Suraqa, in your life, where you wear the gold bangles of Kisra. The time came also, in the time of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was here also during this Hajj. So this is Suraqa bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Alright. Upon reaching Usfan, requested Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for clarification on the rituals of Hajj and said, O Nabi of Allah, educate us regarding the ruling of Hajj as if it was being taught to people who are born now. We are simple people. Teach us now how you teach maktab children. Like we don't know anything. That is, he wanted to learn all the details pertaining to the practices of Hajj. Following this, he arrived at Sarf, a location situated approximately 9 to 12 miles away. A notable event at Sarf was a marriage. Nikah took place here also. Why is it an ihram? Don't make it a sunnah, brothers. This is the amal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So a location situated approximately 9 to 12 miles away. One notable event at Sarf was the marriage of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, the Maymuna, radiallahu ta'ala, anha. During his journey for Umratul Qadha. These two, the nikah took place in Umratul Qadha, not now. Upon the return journey, the marriage was consummated after the Umrah at this site, Sarf. And subsequently, the burial place of Hazrat Maymuna was established at the same place. As per the authentic narrations, she passed away in the 51st year of the Hijri calendar, 51st year, way after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So where her nikah was consummated, that's where she passed away also. During the stay in Sarf, Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, at a place called Sarf, with a Sa'ad. Sa'ad ma? Seen. Sa'ad, let's check it up. Some say Sarf too. So at this place, Hazrat Aisha's menses commenced. At this place over here, her menses commenced. She recounted that upon reaching Sarf during the Hajj pilgrimage, her menstrual cycle began. Distressed, she started crying. How old she was? About 18 she was. Right? The demise of Mrs. She was only 18 years old. So she was a young girl. So she recounted that upon reaching Sarf during the Hajj pilgrimage, her menstrual cycle began. Distress, she started crying. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inquired about her tears. When he came, then why are you crying? through which she expressed concern about missing Hajj due to menstruation. But the way she said it comes in riwayah, she said, La usalli. She didn't say, I have my days or my cycle. She said, La usalli. I can't perform namaz. See the highlight. So she was so bashful also, they put it in this way. This is why we should ask sometime in the house, we have sons now. The mother asks the daughter, or the father asks the daughter, ask, are you reading Salah or not? Then from there you can get, not now, your days. Ask, there's something, what days is he talking about now? So, it's a very bashful way of saying it. So she said, I'm not performing Salah. So comforting her, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reassured her, stating, Subhanallah, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَنَاتِ بَنِي آدَمَ فَقَالَ أُنْسِكِ الْمَنَاسِكِ كُلَّهَا غَيْرَ أَلَّا تَطُوفِ بِالْبَيْتِ. So he told her, very calmly, he says, Subhanallah, glory belongs to Allah, this menstruation is from amongst the decree of Allah for the daughters of Adam. So you're not the only one. They get it now, it's not in your control. So he made her feel a bit comfortable. Encouraged her to continue with the rituals of Hajj like other pilgrims, but advised against making tawaf of Ka'batullah until she was pure and the cycle had stopped. Abu Dawud Sharif. In one narration, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam advised Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha through the following words. He told her, Unqudi ra'saki wam tashiti wa ahilli bil hajji wa da'i al umrah. Uncover your head, comb your hair, don the ihram garment for Hajj and forgo the intention for Umrah. Leave the Umrah now. Put on the ihram for Hajj now. Right? Because you can't do Umrah right now. We are making Umrah first. So similarly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who were present. He told them, مَلَّمْ يَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ مَعَهُ هَدْيٌ فَأَحَبَّ أَن يَجْعَلَهَا عُمْرَةً وَلْيَفْعَلْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مَعُ الْهَدْيُ فَلَا. For those who have not brought the animals to don the ihram of Umrah only, whereas those who have brought the sacrificial animals were to remain in ihram until the completion of Hajj. Prior to this, at the Miqat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had permitted the companions to choose from any of the three types of Hajj. Now the regulation came down. Then bring your animals, then make only Umrah. You brought it, you make both Umrah and Hajj in the same ihram. Here at Sarf, he permitted those without sacrificial animals to perform Umrah and come out of the state of Umrah if they wished. And later on at Safa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave explicit instructions that those without sacrificial animals must perform Umrah and conclude the ihram instantly. Actually, just 1.5 page left before the arrival in Mecca. Dhu Tuwa and Wadi Azraq. Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam encamped at Dhu Tuwa, a destination also mentioned in the records of Bukhari Sharif. This was on a Sunday, corresponding to the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. On the 4th of Dhul Hijjah. Alright? Hajj starts on the 8th. This is the 4th. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed the early morning Fajr Salah there, Dhu Tuwa, and took a ghusl and made his way to Makkah Mukarramah through Wadi Azraq. While reflecting, he likened to this valley of Azraq. He likened the scene to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ascending Mount Sinai, reciting the Talbiyah and supplicating to Allah with humility, كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ هَابِطًا مِنَ الثَّنِيَّةِ وَلَهُ جُعَارٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِتَلْبِيَةِ. And then the next chapter is arrival in Makkah Mukarramah. Inshallah, we continue. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to make amal, inshallah.